is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hour number two. We appreciate you coming along.
Most of you.
Most of you. 1-800-920-1140. Text us at 916-339-1140. You know what I figured out? I think most people haven't come along on the text line. Like, our texts have gone down.
We've already explained this issue.
I know. Just saying. Let's go back. By the way, would you trade the number one pick in the draft if you were the Kings for Ben Simmons? 436 votes in. 29% say yes, which means 71% say no. The funny thing is that the argument I've been having on Twitter with this one guy for the whole time.
Is Ben Simmons 40 and I just missed it?
No, dude, it's just honestly...
Like, I get the shooting stuff. I understand the shooting issues. I get it.
I would tell you. Yeah, by the way, here's a fun fact about Ben Simmons.
He's good.
Lifetime 56% field goal percentage. 56%. Now, I get it. I get the whole three-pointer thing. I get the jumpers. I get it. 56% from the field. We talk about this guy like he shoots 30% from the field. Oh, and a perennial all-defensive first-teamer, and he's 24, and he's a perennial all-star, and he's a triple-double threat every night. Yeah.
All-league.
Yeah. But, and by the way, Cade Cunningham might be better than him. I'm not saying that.
Might be.
But I'm telling you right now, if people drafted Cade Cunningham, you said, hey, listen, here's the thing with Cade Cunningham. By the time he's 24, he's going to have made two or three all-star teams, two all-NBA first defense teams. And he's going to be a triple-double threat every single night. He's going to average like 15, 8, and 8. People be over the moon with that.
Sure.
Now, could he be more? Could Cade Cunningham be the next Michael Jordan? Could he be the next Luka Doncic? Could he be the... Yes! But the idea that it's... I can tell you right now, you can flip-flop that 70-30% as to how many GMs in the league would do that or think heavily about doing it. It's kind of weird how... lowly rated, like Ben Simmons's Q rating, to use an advertising term, is way down.
It's the, I like to call it, it's NBA social media. It's not just Twitter. It's NBA social media that focuses on only the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could take 10 attributes and the player has 9 of them that he's just excellent at, and then one he's just crap at. That's all you'll hear about. It's the only thing you'll hear about. And you know I'm right.
It's weird. You're right. It is.
It's like guy who didn't want to trade for Matisse Thybulle. Why? Well, he's just not that good on offense. He's in his second year and was all defense second team. Yeah. Like, I'll take him.
But because that's the thing, dude. And we talked about this with Rudy Gobert in the Hall of Fame. Because the vast majority of, the vast majority of basketball fans out there could not care less about defense. And do not pay attention to how much it contributes to you winning. We broke
fun.
This down.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. There's not a lot of NBA top shot defensive play.
Right.
Soundgarden right now.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today.
Soundgarden.
It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
One stat I'm proud of, I never got swept in a 4-7 game series. Never. And you can't tell me you're a great player if you can't win 1 out of 4 games. I just don't believe that.
Charles has just...
Let me replay that.
One stat I'm proud of, I never got swept in a 4-7 game series. Never. And you can't tell me you're a great player if you can't win 1 out of 4 games. I just don't believe that.
Okay.
Charles, I love Charles, but sometimes he just says things that I'm like, wait, what?
Charles, you were on 3 different NBA teams, and not once did you ever win a championship. You can't tell me you're a great player.
Charles went to the conference finals twice and the NBA finals once, I think.
Uh-huh. Like, obviously, I'm joking. Charles Barkley is one of the greatest players of all time.
Played 15 years.
But Charles, of all people, that's why that comment, like, I love Charles Barkley, but sometimes he just brain farts all over TNT.
All over it. Stinky.
Like, dude, come on, Charles. Of all... the people that shouldn't say something like, of all the people in the world that should understand that in basketball, it can't just be one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team that you need. You had a great team in Phoenix, and you ran into Michael Jordan. You had a great team in Houston, and you ran into all kinds of crap.
And you pretty much, I don't like to use the word demanded, but basically wanted out of Philly because you were tired of being the only guy to hold that organization up.
You telling me you can't play in Philadelphia and get that team to the – then you're not a Hall of Famer. What?
It's just unreal sometimes.
I just, of all people to say that, for Charles to say that, it's just a dumb comment. All right. Old friend Isaiah Thomas. Our Isaiah Thomas. Not the other one.
Not the fake one.
Cut number two.
Soundgarden.
I'm going to go with Steph Curry.
Ooh.
Best point guard of all time.
Changed the game. Changed the game of basketball and saw me on every level. On every level in the whole world.
Steph Curry, greatest point guard of all time.
Did Steph Curry change the position?
No.
Well, I mean, honestly, and this is no disrespect to Steph Curry, he's one of the greatest to ever play. My question is simply, did he change it, or was he just a point guard who really shoots well?
Yeah. No, I don't think he changed the position.
I mean, he's the best shooter in history.
Yeah.
Apologies to, Larry
Bird. He just happened to play point guard. I don't think that means he changed the position.
I don't either. I don't, but I don't have a problem with anything Isaiah said.
No, of course not.
All right, number three.
Soundgarden.
Here's Michael Malone, Denver Nuggets, Sacramento Kings.
Coaching legend.
Coaching legend, Michael Malone.
Obviously, a lot of respect for Monty, his staff, guys like Willie Green, who I coached, Randy Ayers, Mark Bryant. They do a terrific job, and you have to give them a lot of credit. They're a very well-coached team, and they have a lot of talent. Chris Paul could arguably be the greatest point guard of all time.
Oh, what? What? Did he just say Chris Paul could be the greatest point guard of all times?
He said arguably. And you like to make that argument. Isaiah Thomas thinks it's Steph Curry. I don't think it's either of the two, but that's fine.
I was making that argument before the Suns even came close to the playoffs.
That's right. Chris Paul hipster, Carmichael Dave.
Thank you. I'm glad to see that you are going to, God, if the Suns do win the finals, hell, if the Suns even make the finals, you're already seeing it, but can you imagine? The Suns win the finals, the amount of retrospective Chris Paul love will be
unreal.
It will be the top storyline.
It will be unbearable.
I kind of agree with you. Like, I'll have to back off at that point because it will get unbearable.
By the way, Isaiah, Michael, did anyone forget a guy named Magic Johnson?
Hello? I thought, is that where you were going?
Magic was pretty good.
I thought you were going Jason Williams.
He was pretty good, too.
Yeah. Best passer ever. Well, what? Are you going to bring Pete Maravich into the thing?
I was going to say Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, better pass.
Had more assists.
I should say this. Most prolific passer ever. Because you're right. Best passer. Best passer is a guy that has the most assists. Most fun to watch passer, guy who made passing fun and exciting. Yeah. Buying a truck is fun and exciting if you go to Hoblet. If you go to Hoblet. Summer sales event right now as the temperatures heat up. So do the deals. Up to $5,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Big Horns or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s. And 2.49% financing for 84 months. That's thousands in savings, by the way. Only at Hoblet on new 2021 Ram 15, 25, and 3500s. The Night Edition and the limited models that you can't find anywhere. Yep, Hoblet's got them. Biggest selection of HD Rams in California. Over 300 of all sizes available. And by the way, they got Challengers. Not Challengers to their crown of best place to buy a truck, but the Dodge Challenger. Over 30, all types available. SXT with the blacktop package, GT, scat packs. The number 3 Ram dealer in the country. In the country. The only certified Ram truck center in the Sacramento Valley. See the full selection at Hoblet Ram Truck Center or HobletDodge.com. No hassle, no pressure ever, dealership. Hoblet Dodge. Best prices, best selection, period. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, let's get to three for madness. Oh, my goodness. Are we trending this way in the Eastern Conference Finals? Gardner Minshew. Should he just retire at this point after what he did to his face, to his head? And Jacob DeGrom, odds on favorite to win the MVP. You okay with that? We'll talk about that next.
One, two, three.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
You got to love the text line, 916-332-9140, when it comes through. We're talking about best point guards all time. Just got a random Kenny Anderson in there.
Ooh, that's a good one. Kenny Anderson was good.
Kenny Anderson was very good, and Kenny Anderson was better at Georgia Tech. I loved Kenny Anderson.
He had a couple really good seasons in New Jersey, though. All-star.
Yeah, not in the greatest point guard of all time conversation.
No. Top 500?
I agree with you. I mean, come on.
Any Beno Udrich texts yet?
Not yet.
How do you not get into the greatest conversation of all time when there's literally a catchphrase for you every time you made a shot? Like, come on. Beno with the Drano,
Beno with
man.
The Drano.
It's a big Beno hive.
Three for madness, question one.
Because of injuries to other teams' star players, are we trending towards a Bucks-Hawks Eastern Conference final? Trending.
Not that's what's going to happen. But trending. Stop looking at the chat. It's just stop.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
They're just stupid.
I am a chat voyeur. I'm really always into the chat regardless of the topic.
It's trending. Because, like you said, of injuries. Joel Embiid, that knee is hurting, you can tell. And the Nets have been just destroyed. I mean, when you have two of your big three out, that's a problem. Now, am I still leaning towards a Philly-Brooklyn series? Yeah.
Oh.
I am still leaning. Well, you know, this happens all the time, dude. You get the home games and the home team wins. Everyone's like, oh, well, my God, it could be a sweep. And then the home teams win on the road and... Then it goes to the, you know, next team's home. They win, like the Clippers have. And it's like, oh, my God, look at momentum, which is kind of true. But what do we say? It's not a series until the home team loses a game. Now, in Philly, they did. They lost game one, but they got it right back. So every series right now is still on track, in my opinion, for Brooklyn to win. Philly to win, Utah to win.
Yeah, from that standpoint, you are correct. But it is trending towards Hawks and Bucks.
Trending.
If the Bucks lose tonight,
yeah.
I am selling all of my Bucks stock. I have kept Bucks stock for the last 2 years. When they got Drew Holiday, I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
They lose tonight. With no Harden, because I'm sorry, being upgraded to doubtful, he ain't playing.
No.
No Kyrie.
No.
You have no reason to lose. If you cannot win that game in Brooklyn, you have no business talking about being a title contender.
You're going to sell your stock.
All of it to you.
If the Bucks lose a road game.
If they lose the road game. Not a road game. The road game. Game five. As Magic Johnson points out on Twitter every other day, Game 3 and Game 5, most important games of the series.
He's right.
They lose tonight, I'm selling all my Bucks.
By the way, I'll put an addendum on what Magic said. Love Magic. I'm going to go Game 7 being the most important game of the series. That's just me. We're picking games.
Well, you got to get to Game 7.
You got to get to Game 5.
Facts.
Thank you. Number 2.
Question 2.
Gardner Minshew has taken down his signature mullet. Will this make Minshew a worse quarterback?
Yes. Yes, that's what it is. I mean, it's his calling card.
Dude, it's his source of power. It's his battery pack.
Well, if the
Minshew is correct.
They should call it a Molshoe or something.
That's genius.
If that's his source of power, then there's problems. Gardner,
well, they don't have to wait. They got Trevor Lawrence now. But
Gardner Minshew has gotten a lot. He's gotten more pub for his look and personality than he has for him being good at quarterbacking. And he just took away one of those. Where is Gardner Minshew? Is he still with Jacksonville?
Yeah, he's backing up Trevor Lawrence.
I would just cash those checks and be happy, baby.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Gardner doesn't strike me as a guy who has a whole lot to worry about in life. He's just kind of out there living.
Kind of a weird first name, huh?
Gardner, a little bit. Minshew, kind of a different last name as well.
Did you hear, by the way, total, again, non sequitur, that's what we do.
Minshew here?
Did you hear? Did you hear that there is a new best name in college football?
I did not.
Quincy McKinstry. G-A-apostrophe Quincy McKinstry. Oh, okay. That's a fine name. See, Quincy has a nickname. And it's not one of those. It's like, it is his nickname. But it's now his name. It's his name on his card. I don't know if you can see from there how good your eyes are.
Kool-Aid McKinstry?
That is what is on his bio. That is what he's going as. That is has been his nickname forever. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Watch for him.
Future number one pick in the NFL draft.
Defensive back Alabama. My pick for the Heisman Trophy. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Bring it on, baby. Number three.
Question three.
Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom is now the betting favorite to win the NL MVP award. Are you okay with the pitcher winning the MVP award?
No. I've never liked that. They have the Cy Young.
Right? Isn't that kind of the... Like, pitching is such a different position in baseball.
It's a whole different thing.
I've always felt the MVP should be towards position players, the Cy Young, four pitchers. Like you said to me, that's right. The pitching MVP. And I really do think we need an Edgar for the DH.
Well, I mean, fine. Listen, and nobody bring up the dumb Silver Slugger. Nobody cares about the Silver Slugger.
Or the Gold Glove anymore. Right. People don't care about the Gold
People
Glove.
People care more about the Gold Glove than they do the Silver Slugger. The Silver Slugger is for the best hitter. Nobody cares. And I have a hard time giving an MVP to a guy who doesn't play except for every 5 days and plays half the sport.
So you didn't like when Eckersley got it as
a
closer, huh?
No, I didn't. And that's no offense to Dennis Eckersley. Just no, sorry. By the way, I'd rather at least the closer's going more than every 5 days.
Well, not just that. The closer pitching the most important part of the game.
And usually two innings.
Yes.
Back when saves were two inning saves. The Raleigh fingers, if you will.
Before the hold statistic.
All right. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
All right, NBA, NBA, NBA. Clippers, Jazz, Hawks, Sixers. We'll get into halftime there. We also have some trade deadline ideas from ESPN on the Giants and on the A's. We're also going to get to our friend Sam Amick, hooked up with fellow writer Tim Cato, The Athletic, and they put out a very interesting story yesterday. Could Luka Doncic is he starting to become unhappy in Dallas? And the reasoning behind it is crazy. We'll talk about that next.
1-800-920-1140 to talk.
Or maybe texting would be better.
Text the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Sports. Sports. It's all sports. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. Halfway through the program, which means halftime in just a second. Coming up at 8:05, we'll get full into the NBA playoffs, including the all-defensive teams. Did a Sacramento King land on the first or second team? We'll find out.
If. Let's just say if one possibly didn't make it this year.
Uh-huh.
Who was the last Sacramento King to end up on the all-NBA defensive team?
Ron Artest.
Very good.
Thank you.
06. Also, last time the Kings made the playoffs. Coincidence?
No. The ongoing Ben Simmons argument that I've picked online. 615 votes now in. Would you trade the number one pick in the draft if you were the Kings for Ben Simmons? Obviously, you have to get the one
pick.
Come
on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
The over, the bet Jay and I have, it's not really a bet, just a gentleman's bet. The over-under is 70% that I set. 70% would say no. Jay took the under. It's been hovering right around there all morning long. Updated. 72%. It is now growing. 72%. Say no.
It's just... It's so interesting, the thought process.
Some of the responses I've gotten. How is underrating a guy that has done absolutely nothing to improve his shooting and or free throws as a point guard? He's definitely a good player, but can't be trusted to take you home in a tight situation. Here's the thing about Ben Simmons. Just, again, let me throw this out there. Get your narratives and well, that's unfair. It's not a narrative. Those are facts. He's not a great free throw shooter. He's a bad free throw shooter for a point guard. He can't shoot threes. And he doesn't really have an outside shot. Those are all facts. Here's some more facts for you. Ben Simmons shoots 56% career from the field. He averages 15-8-8, which by my mark is a triple-double threat every night of the year. He is a perennial all-star and all-NBA defensive team first-teamer at 24.
Also all-league, but...
Right.
Overall, but... Man.
At 24. And by the way, I'm not here to say that someday Ben Simmons is going to be knocking down shots, you know, like Steph Curry or hell, like...
Yeah, it won't be the...
Serge Ibaka.
He's not going to be a splash brother right. anytime soon.
But it's the old adage. I've said this a billion times on this show. Two guys running to first base in practice in a baseball team. One guy's running all over the place and looks horrific. The other guy looks like a Olympic sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
And they both finish with the exact same time. Which one do you take? You take the one that looks horrible because he has the most opportunity to improve.
The most room to grow. The highest ceiling, as they say in sports.
Now, I'm not here to say that Ben Simmons is going to be a great shooter someday, but are the odds that over his career his shooting will get better? Yeah, but let's say it doesn't. Let's say it stays here. If you told me the number one pick in the draft this year, Cade Cunningham, let's say, hey, Cade Cunningham, by the time he's 24, is going to have, I think Simmons has had two, not three, two All-Star appearances, two All-NBA first team appearances, and will be averaging 15-8-8 on 56% from the field.
Let me just clean that up real quick. Three-time All-Star.
Three-time, excuse me, at 24.
Two-time All-NBA first team.
Yes, we got that right.
Was an All-NBA third teamer last year, and the obviously 21 All-NBA team hasn't been announced yet.
I don't care if the guy shoots 1% on shots past 20 feet.
In four seasons, he has made three All-Star teams, two first-team All-Defensive teams, an All-NBA third team, and more than likely going to make an All-NBA at least third team this year again.
He's 24.
In four seasons.
He's 24.
In four. This many, because he sat out his first one. Four seasons.
It is honestly one of the biggest mysteries I see on NBA Twitter and the like.
And that's what I said. It's just a social media narrative, and it's always in... Anybody who spends enough time on social media and follows any sort of basketball talk, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the platform, Twitter, Facebook, IG, MySpace, TikTok, Snapchat. It's always the focus on the things that really good players can't do, like their flaws, so to speak. That's always the focus every time. Like anytime draft talk is the best part of it.
Right.
When you bring up, player X is this. Yeah, but he can't do this. It's always that when we're talking about 18-year-old kids. Yeah, but he can't do this. Well, he can develop. It's like if they can't come in and be the MVP in their first year, I don't know, man. I don't know. It baffles me. Every year it baffles me.
And it's so strange for all the reasons you just said.
Like, dude, like, seven out of 10 people on this platform wouldn't take Ben Simmons for the number one pick. He's not 37.
He's not?
No.
Because you'd think he is.
You really would.
And listen, I'm sure Cade Cunningham, well, I'm not sure of anything about Cade Cunningham other than it sure sounds like he's going to be a great player. He's a huge prospect
for sure.
With huge upside.
and could be better than Ben Simmons. Let's be
could
be fair.
Absolutely be better than Ben Simmons.
Could.
But you're basing all of this on scouting, which is so flawed. Need we bring up the examples through the years? And 26 games in college. He's played 26 games in college. And you're telling me that it's just, gee golly, a no-brainer. A no-brainer that a 24-year-old three-time All-Star, 3 of 4 years, two-time All-Defensive, first team, All-NBA, 56% from the field.
All-NBA, schmimbia.
15-8-8.
He's 24. And he's locked into a long-term deal.
And you want to know why? And I want you, let's play a game.
Let's get the halftime, by the way.
I know we do. But listen to me. This is so worth it. We're going to play a quick game here. It'll take 5 seconds. 916-339-1140 is your text line. And we go to that right now on Ben Simmons. Jay. The text reads, if he was in the West, he wouldn't be an All-Star. Look at D'Angelo Russell.
You
now,
know what?
Now the question is, what area code sent that text?
209 sent that text.
209. Is that your final
That's
answer?
That's my final answer for the rest of my life.
J Mars is locking it in for all the money. Did the 209 send that text? Yes! Congratulations, J Mars. Wow. Good job. That's honestly.
I think there's a conspiracy happening, and I'm all for it. There's a reason why we're not getting more texts. I think someone, Big Brother, has realized we need to, like, you know, filter out some of this.
Stop reading the texts.
Can we go to halftime, please? Yes. I need a palate cleanse.
Yes. You guys suck.
A what?
That's how my palate cleanse. Get me fired up at halftime.
A palate cleanse.
That too.
As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far, and what we'll be talking about next.
And after falling down 2-0 here in game 4, the Clippers lead it the rest of the way and will come away with a crucial game 4 victory to tie this series at 2 games apiece. Final score from Staples Center, 118-104. The Clippers win it.
Yeah. 2-2. Not just in ballet. That's the series score right now. 2-2. Utah wins the first two at home. The Clippers win the next two at home. That's...
Clippers just like being down 0-2, man. It's just kind of their thing.
I guess.
They need someone to flip that proverbial switch for them, and going down 0-2 is just exactly the medicine they need.
I mean, hey, again, not a series until the home team loses. And that has not happened in the series yet. I refuse to say... I'm not... Listen, the Clippers have shown that they can hang with the Jazz. Is it a confidence builder? Sure. Have the Clippers shown that they can bounce back from adversity? Yes. And, oh, by the way, to your point, the Clippers are looking suspiciously like one of those teams that can turn on the switch.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers are probably, I think at this point, they might be the most under... People aren't talking enough about the fact that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the rest of that team got put together last year.
Mm-hmm.
Super teams. I mean, really, LeBron James and Anthony Davis was about the first. Super team. Look at LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, even in Miami. They lost that first year. Super teams don't do it. They need time. And now we're in year two.
Yeah, they need time, and then I don't think we also factor in the pandemic last year.
Sure.
Happened.
Sure.
Bubble stuff.
Yeah.
All of it actually matters, believe it or not.
I know
that context matters.
People like to roll their eyes at it, but Paul George is very open about the fact that he was not mentally right last year in the bubble, that it really got him. Well, what if Paul was telling the truth? What if Paul George now, who, by the way, has looked pretty damn good lately in the playoffs... What do you have, 31-9 last night, I think?
I'm all for playoff P and not pandemic P. I like playoff P.
I'm with you. So that's a fun series. Speaking of fun series, number two.
Halftime.
Here comes Jake Milton. Milton across, 3 seconds. Milton, right side to Curry. His three-pointer is too late, and the Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have defeated the Philadelphia 76ers and tied the series at two. The Hawks come back and win 103-100.
Well, there you go there. That's an interesting one.
That hurts,
this
man.
Really looked like, and Philly was leading much of this game.
They were up 18 at one point.
And they had gotten blown off the court in the first half of game one and damn near came back and won that game. They just ran out of time at the end. Game two, win, no problem. Game three, win, no problem. Series is obviously over last night if they win and go up 3-1. But that didn't happen. It's 2-2. But I understand Joel Embiid's knee injury. I can't take away momentum. I can't take away from Philly still being in the catbird seat here.
I think so, but it's all going to depend on Joel's health.
Sure.
If he looks anything like he did last night, if those injuries are bothering him to that extent, I think Atlanta can win this series.
I think Joel Embiid would have to be out. Because say what you want last night. I understand he was 0-14 in the second.
Oh, 12, excuse me.
But he still pulled down 21 rebounds. He was still a presence on defense. He still had some offense, at least in the first.
Well, the first half, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, unless something happened to his knee that we don't know about yet, unless something else happened, and now we're going to start hearing Joel Embiid questionables. Now, that changes the story. But if it was just Joel Embiid being 0-12 in the second half, I don't see that happening to you.
Joel Embiid was 0-12 in the second half because he started feeling hurt. And if he has that same feeling,
sure,
it's going to be rough for Philadelphia.
I agree with you, it'll be rough. But I also think Philadelphia ultimately has the ability to clamp down on defense that Atlanta doesn't have.
And
I'm going to take defense every single time.
I would too, but you also got to put the ball in the basket at some point.
You have three all-defensive team members on that squad.
They're built. That's how they're built.
And if we're going by that narrative.
But also, one of those members, Joel Embiid, is kind of the anchor. And if he's hurt. Eesh.
God, I'll tell you what would be a hell of a finals.
I hate injuries, by the way.
Clippers and Philly.
Clippers and Phillies would be extremely intriguing.
You want to talk about defense there. Meanwhile, isn't Phoenix leading everybody in defense?
Phoenix is pretty good.
Nobody talks about them.
Everyone forgets Chris Paul's like a 9 million time all defensive first-team point guard.
Best point guard ever. Number three.
Halftime.
That is strike three called, and the ball game is over. We got to see Tom Hallion with that signature move, ring him up. So Jake McGee with an efficient and quick ninth inning. The Giants added on in the eighth and took a little stress away.
So we kind of got a double halftime here because, the Giants won, but these guys won too.
Fletcher stands in, hands held high on the right side, 0-1. Slow curve, and that's poked in the center field. Going out is Elvis. Behind second base, he's there. He makes the catch, and the A's win game one of the series against the Angels by an 8-5 final.
Who had the Giants and A's both playing better than 600 ball on June 15th? Jay did.
Duh.
I wish we had a betting guy on speed dial. I would like to know, because I'm sure it exists. You can bet on anything. What would a parlay have been on the Giants and A's both being 600 or better on June 15th?
And boy, would you have liked to take it.
5,000 to 1, 4,000 to 1, something crazy like that.
I'd put a dollar down on that.
Leicester City odds. Well, here we go. You got two of the top, four records in baseball in the Bay Area right now?
Oh, and by the way, the Giants are doing this with injury issues to that lineup. That's the biggest thing. I mean, they were awful in the National, but that's just why it's so, the Giants are just that fluky team, man, and that's what makes them so scary.
Right.
We talked about it yesterday. They split in Washington. They put up three runs in four games and still managed to split.
Which is insane. That's silly.
That's dumb. And now you're looking at it with the trade deadline about 6.5-7 weeks away. It's time to pull the trigger.
Well, here's the thing, though. Because the doors very much are about to get blown off the world of Major League Baseball. And I feel really bad for GMs in this sense alone, because a lot of these GMs don't even know what they need right now. Baseball's putting out a memo today that any players caught with foreign substances will be suspended 10 days with pay. I love that.
Poor guys. How are they going to manage?
The memo will go out to teams, which have already been briefed. All players caught by umpires with any foreign substances, from the widely used sunscreen and rosin combination to spider tack, which is an industrial glue that has become a favorite amongst pitchers. 10-day suspension, which
So two starts.
It's incredibly interesting now. Because what isn't entirely clear, and if it is, I haven't seen it, is who is the onus on to inspect the players? Will an umpire just on his own go, let me look at that ball. Ew. Hey, dude, take off your hat. Or must, in fact, I'm going to find out during the break. I got a buddy. Or must a manager from another team make that request? Because here's where it gets interesting. If the umpires are basically only responding to managers protesting whether or not a player has a foreign substance, what becomes incredibly interesting to me is if managers then have sort of a nonverbal contract with each other that nobody's going to check, because that means you're going to get checked, and that means your guys are going to get checked. And here's the deal. Let's just use the Giants.
It's the old, I see you, you see me.
Right.
Let's go,
make a family, whatever mm-hmm. the rhyme is. Let's just take the Giants. If Gabe Kapler decides to go after Dave Robertson, one of the Dodgers pitchers, okay, great. But Gabe Kapler better be sure that one of his guys ain't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now all of a sudden it's on.
Because he said, she said.
Correct.
It's going to be a horrible thing.
And the umpires are put in the spot where they, you know, I hope it's not on the umpire's discretion. I hope the umpires really have no way, there's no recourse for them to independently, because now you're getting into, well, why did you check?
Unless you see something so obvious, like there's Vaseline under,
if you've got a big stalactite or stalagmite, whatever the ones that come from the top to the bottom, if you have one of those hanging off the cap, or, you know, you see a pitcher literally blowing his nose on the ball, okay. But if an umpire is just looking at the ball and catcher goes to throw it away or whatever, and oh my God, look, there's a big spider tack loogie on there. Now you're getting into, well, hold on, why did you check this guy but you didn't check that guy? Why did you check this team but not that team? What are the tendencies here? It puts umps in a horrible position. Number two, what effect is it going to have on offense and on pitching? And that's where I get to the GMs. Trade deadline coming around the corner. Well, I don't know what I need if I'm a GM, because I don't know. For all I know, I need a couple of starting pitchers that didn't rely on spider tack this year, because my pitching's looked really good right now. But I'm about to have.
Okay. Don't you think a GM knows if their pitchers have relied on spider tack?
I think they do, but I think where the question becomes is, A, how less effective is my pitcher going to be now that he doesn't use spider tack? Like, did he really need it? And if so, how much of a difference did it? That's unquantifiable from memory. And number two, I don't know what kind of hitting help I'm going to need, because you know what? My hitters might all of a sudden, I don't want to dig into the minor leagues.
I think you have a really good idea if you're a Major League Baseball GM of exactly what you need.
You might be in a situation where all of a sudden your offense is going to take a nice step up
mm-hmm.
because pitchers now are back to normal.
Sure. But if you're going with that logic, then the idea is like, well, why do I need to trade for pitching? None of them can use spider tack anymore. Why am I going to sacrifice something in my minor league system for a pitcher?
And how do you know the guy that you're trading for was or wasn't?
Well, how do you know this is even going to be heavily? I don't think this is going to be something that they monitor too much. I think this is them just trying to save their butt publicly by putting it out there. Like, yeah, we see this. This is terrible.
So you think?
But they know damn well that they are thriving right now because of it.
Okay, so you
the same thing with the steroids in the late 90s.
You think baseball's putting this out, but they're not really going to police it?
They'll police it to a degree
uh-huh.
for, you know, the sake of saying, hey, man, we really.
Because
you know,
this is going to be the dominant story the rest of the
of
year.
Course
you know
it
that,
is.
Right? People are going to start getting suspended. And it's not just that. How is the public going to react when. Let's just use Gerrit Cole, because he's the one who we think is most. So Gerrit Cole gets suspended for 10 days for having spider tack.
Okay. You think it'll be a high-level guy like Cole that gets hit first?
No, I don't. But I'm saying in this scenario, let's call it a high-level guy, and let's choose Garrett Cole because that's fairer than choosing some random guy that we don't know has ever used a foreign substance. On a scale of 1 to steroids, how is the public going to react to this pitcher?
It won't be on the steroid level.
On a scale of 1 to steroids was my question.
Six.
And realize steroids being a 10 is this guy's a cheater. He'll always be a cheater. He's publicly maligned. You'll never get in the Hall of Fame. So a 6, while comparatively lower, of course, is nothing to shake a stick at.
I don't think it's anything to shake a stick at. But again, I don't think they're going to go after the big guys. What you'll see is like the fourth reliever in the Pirates bullpen gets popped.
You think they're going to have selective... They're going to have selective enforcement based on
baseball, dude.
But
do you trust Rob Manfred and company?
Right, no, I do not. But here's what I do trust. If let's use Garrett Cole again. If he's got spider tack on the ball and manager X protests it and umpire Y sees the spider tack on the ball, what's he going to do? Be like, it's Garrett Cole.
But that goes back to your initial point, though. Is manager X going to point that out, knowing that
then
probably
they wouldn't point anything out?
That's my point. That's why I don't think anyone gets popped.
That's why we've got to find out if the umpire. I'm going to find that. I'm going to make a phone call.
That's why I don't think anyone gets popped. All right, you know what I'm saying?
We will take a break.
Yeah, that was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we will talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll update you on the Ben Simmons poll, and also our buddy Sam Amick will join us Thursday. He and his colleague Tim Cato of The Athletic put out a bombshell story
that Mark Cuban loved.
The opposite of what Jay said on Luka Doncic, and is he starting to get annoyed in Dallas? We'll talk about that next.